You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880. The Lutheran Hour presents a message by Pastor Ken Claus titled, The Words of Eternal Life. Now here is Pastor Claus.
Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Come to the open tomb and look. See that the Father has accepted the sacrifice of His Son. Because the Savior has risen from the dead, humanity search. Your personal and private wandering is at an end. If you wish to know to whom you should go, go to Jesus. It is He, and He alone, who has the words of eternal life. One of the great challenges of being a minister is saying things clearly so that people understand. I know what I want to say, but people often hear something quite different than what I intended. That's because we have different perspectives. Just how differently we hear and see things was brought home to me when I recently visited the Lutheran Women's Missionary League convention in Oklahoma City. There I met some wonderful people, but none more appreciated than a fifth grade teacher from one of our parochial schools. She told me about an experiment she had conducted in her class. She had given them the first half of some common proverbs and sayings. These were things that she and most of us adults know by heart. Then she asked her students to complete the saying. The results were most interesting. For example, you know it is better to be safe than sorry. But a fifth grader finished it with, better to be safe than to punch an eighth grader. Different perspective, but equally true. Here's some of the others the teacher collected. She said, strike while the... Yes, I know you said, while the iron is hot. Her student said, strike while the bug is close. Given, it's always darkest before. One student wrote, daylight savings time. Here's some others. Don't bite the hand that looks dirty. No news is impossible. A miss is as good as a mister. You can't teach an old dog new math. Where there's smoke, there's pollution. A penny saved is not much, at least according to a fifth grader. Two's company, three's the musketeers. Laugh and the whole world laughs with you. Cry and you have to blow your nose. Here's a good one. Children should be seen and not spanked or grounded. You understand what I'm saying. We all have different perspectives. The same can be said of Jesus. There are two ways of looking at Him. You can, by the power of the Holy Spirit, believe on Him as God's Son, your divine substitute, who has conquered sin and Satan, so that you might have salvation. Or, you can believe Jesus is something else. Jesus Christ is your saving substitute, or something else. He will be your Lord, or He will be relegated to the ranks of being a mere tutor and teacher, a friend and philosopher, or maybe even a fake and a fraud. What He means to you depends upon your perspective. Humanity's relationship with God has always depended upon our perspective. I say that because God's perspective toward us does not change. Although, because of our sinfulness, we stood condemned, God loved us, still does. He cared for us, still does. He wished to save us, still does. By God's grace, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, is the same yesterday and today and forever. But our perspective, that is another matter. Humanity's perspective is continuously amending and adjusting. At the dawn of time, as long as our first ancestors trusted their Heavenly Father, relied on Him, were thankful to Him, their lives were lived in a perfect Eden. When they succumbed to Satan's temptation to sin, their perspective changed. No longer were their lives filled with the fulfillment that comes from following their Maker. No longer could they count on contentment and concord with their caring Creator. They had disregarded God's word of life and paid the price. Consider the children of Israel. Once they had lived in Egyptian slavery, through mighty miracles and powerful plagues, God had taken them out of bondage and led them to the promised land. As long as God's people remained thankful and trusting, their journey was a joyful one. But when their perspective changed, when they became rebellious and reluctant, disobedient and disloyal, their wanderings became frightening and fearful. Eventually, the Hebrews did come to the land God had first promised Abraham. Were they grateful and glad? Were they doubtful and disloyal? They were both. Their perspectives changed. Listen to a few verses from Scripture taken from the second chapter of Judges that describes those times. Unlike their fathers, they quickly turned from the way in which their fathers had walked, the way of obedience to the Lord's commands. Whenever the Lord raised up a judge for them, he was with the judge and saved them out of the hands of their enemies as long as the judge lived. The Lord had compassion on them as they groaned under those who oppressed and afflicted them. But when the judge died, the people returned to ways even more corrupt than those of their fathers, following other gods and serving and worshiping them. It was no different when Jesus left his throne in heaven and was born in Bethlehem. He came to save us from our sins. But human perspectives were different when it came to acknowledging that wonderful event which changed the world and eternity. When the shepherds were told of Jesus' birth, they went and saw this thing which had come to pass, which the Lord had told them about. Then, having seen, they went and enthusiastically told everyone they could about the wondrous thing God had done. But King Herod, when he was told about the birth of the King of Kings, he sent his soldiers to snuff out the life of the newborn Savior. Perspective. When Jesus raised his friend Lazarus from the dead, there was great rejoicing at this resurrection wonder. Still others had a different perspective. The Bible tells us that the chief priests, reacting to the resurrection, decided to kill both Jesus and Lazarus as well. After Jesus fed well over 5,000 people using a boys' loaves and fishes, the reactions show people's different perspectives. While many wanted to make him king so he could keep the flood of food flowing to his loyal subjects, only a few were willing to hear him speak of the real purpose for which he had come. It was a matter of perspective. So great were the differences in these perspectives that many of the people who had been willing to follow a supplier who would share sustenance and shelter walked away from a Savior who was surrendering himself to be sacrificed in their stead and for their salvation. Seeing how quickly people's perspectives had changed, Jesus turned to his closest friends and questioned, "You don't want to leave too, do you?" He wanted to know what was their perspective. It is Peter, speaking for most of them, who replies, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." That reply is notable for two reasons. First, Peter doesn't say that they haven't thought about going somewhere else. He doesn't say, "Lord, you know, that thought just never crossed our minds, but now that you bring it up, we're going to give it some deliberation." On the contrary, Peter gives every indication that the disciples had given considerable consideration to their options. Maybe they should go back home to the fishing boats. Maybe they should look around for another rabbi to follow. Maybe. They were investing their lives, the only lives they would ever have. They didn't want to be wrong. Which takes us to the second notable part of Peter's powerful proclamation. Having looked at their position from many perspectives, they had come to this conclusion. There was nowhere else to go. They had seen the power of the Roman legions, but the Romans could be defeated, and the soldiers could be slain. They had heard the philosophies of the Greeks. Having done so, they concluded, only Jesus could give them truth. Only Jesus could pay for their sins. Only Jesus could fulfill the laws they had broken. Only Jesus could be their substitute. Only Jesus had the words of eternal life. True, the day would come when they would change their perspective. They would leave their Lord and forsake the Savior in the Garden of Gethsemane. While he was carrying their sins, they would run off into the darkness. For fear of what might happen to them, most of them would slip away from the sight of his suffering, cower and cringe behind locked doors while the Christ was crucified on Calvary's crest. Still, the Savior's empty tomb of Easter showed them that Jesus' words had been true all along. the Lord of Life's resurrection showed that the Father had accepted Jesus' sacrifice, and now all who believe on him could be saved. It was news that changed the world. It was truth that changed the disciples' perspective. Once and for all. Never again would they question or doubt his words of truth. They would believe. Even in the face of martyrdom, they would show that they knew the truth. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. According to tradition, Peter's perspective did not change even as he was crucified upside down. Thomas' perspective did not change even when he was run through with a spear. James the Less was beaten to death. His perspective did not change, nor did that of Bartholomew, who was skinned alive. As they died in terrible and cruel ways, they could have gone elsewhere. They could have saved themselves. Just a small change of perspective. That is all it would have taken. But they did not change. Why? Where could they go? They had seen the Savior, God's good news of great joy, who alone has the words of eternal life. These men, along with so many Christians since, understood that you cannot reduce Jesus to the role of being a teacher or philosopher. Having said the things that Jesus did, things like, I am the way, the truth, the life, no man comes to the Father except through me. Things like, I am the resurrection and the life. He who lives and believes in me will never die. Either his words were true, and he is God's Son, the world's Savior, or else Jesus was a lunatic, a liar, a fake, fraud, and a fool. He could not, cannot be anything else. And the disciples were convinced, absolutely convinced, that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, that Jesus alone had the words of eternal life. That's what they believed. And what do you believe? From your perspective, how do you see Jesus? What do his words mean to you? If Jesus is, in your life, anything less than Savior, today the Holy Spirit is calling you to a different perspective, calling you to see and hear and believe in the Lord Jesus in a different way. It is a perspective that makes all the difference when it comes to your eternal life. In the fall of 1780, His Majesty's ship Vulture crept up the Hudson River. In the early twilight, a British army officer was rowed ashore for a clandestine meeting with the commandant of West Point, Benedict Arnold. You know the story of Arnold. This is the story of the British officer. By morning, a bargain of betrayal had been made, and the Englishman rowed to share the news with the New York governor. Sadly for him, he was captured. Benedict Arnold made his escape to England, while his partner in crime, Major John André, was sentenced to death as a spy. Let me tell you a little about Major André. André had, some time before, walked away from the strict spiritual training given to him by his parents, who were religious refugees in England. The major had enjoyed the social life of an up-and-coming officer. His life was filled with this diversion and that distraction and yet another indiscretion. His capture and trial changed all of that. With just days to go before his death, André was confronted with where he was going to go, in whom he was going to believe. The power of the Lord changed the major's heart, his perspective, his eternal destiny. This poem was found in his pocket after he was hanged at Tappan, New York, October 2nd, 1780. The major wrote, Hail, sovereign love which first began the scheme to rescue fallen man. Hail, matchless free eternal grace which gave my soul a hiding place. Against the God who built the sky, I fought with hands uplifted high, despised the mention of his grace, too proud to seek a hiding place. Enwrapped in thick Egyptian night and fond of darkness more than light, madly I ran the sinful race secure, without hiding place. But thus the eternal counsel ran, Almighty love, arrest that man. I felt the arrows of distress and found I had no hiding place. Indignant justice stood in view. To Sinai's fiery mount I flew, but justice cried with frowning face, This mountain is no hiding place. Ere long, a heavenly voice I heard, and mercy's angel soon appeared. He led me, with a beaming face, to Jesus as a hiding place. On him almighty vengeance fell, which must have sunk a world to hell. He bore it for a sinful race, and thus became our hiding place. Should sevenfold storms of thunder roll and shake this globe from pole to pole, no thunderbolt shall daunt my face, for Jesus is my hiding place. And then the major, condemned to die, concluded with this verse: a few more setting suns at most shall land me on that glorious coast, where I shall sing the song of grace and see my glorious hiding place. A new perspective? My friends, the major was given time to reflect. He had time to consider where he was going. He was given the grace to hear the Spirit's call and say, Jesus, your life, your death, your resurrection, your words have given me eternal life. But how about you? Will you have that time? This day the Lord wishes to change your perspective. This day the Lord wants you to say, Lord, there is nowhere else I can go. You have the words of eternal life. Then, believing that, live your life with the security of knowing in Jesus your sins are forgiven and eternal life is yours. Having Jesus as Lord can do that, you know. If you need to know more about him and his great love, we would very much like to have you give us a call. The number will be given before the end of this broadcast. This day, the Lord wants to change your perspective. As World War II was drawing to a close, the Allied armies ended up gathering together a great many orphans. These children had suffered privation, hunger, grief. They had lost everything, including their hope for the future and the security of a safe tomorrow. True, these children had been gathered together and placed in camps. There they received excellent medical care and were clothed and fed. They should have thought their worries were at an end. It was not so. In spite of all they had, these children kept worrying about tomorrow and what the future held. They were listless. They slept poorly. Finally, a psychologist suggested a solution to change their perspective. Each child, when he went to bed, was given a piece of bread. They were instructed not to eat the bread. Instead, just hold on to it. Those pieces of bread produced wonderful results. The children went to bed knowing they were not going to starve. They knew their tomorrow was taken care of. They were secure. That knowledge, that guarantee, gave them a restful and contented sleep. Today, to you who are worried and restless, frightened and forsaken, the Lord is holding out eternal peace, eternal contentment, eternal forgiveness for you. He wishes, through his son's sacrifice, to give you someone to hold on to, someone who will change your today, your tonight, and all your tomorrows. That someone is his son. His love for you is so great. Trust him. Believe him. Join with the disciples in knowing there is no one else who can do what he can. Join with believers and say, Lord, you have the words of eternal life. I have nowhere else to go. And with faith, believing, know you have God's guarantee of salvation and grace. God grant it be so. Amen.
Thanks for listening. For more information, call our toll-free number 1-800-876-9880. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.